This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how crediting experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have BAI's Carl Dahlgren back on the program talking about the 2023 Banking Outlook Report. Tons of takeaways in this discussion with Carl, so I hope you check it out. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have a special friend of the show, Mr. Carl Dahlgren from BAI. Carl, how are you, sir?
Glad to be back on with you, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, it's kind of like a semi-annual tradition here. A couple of times a year we have you on talking about all things banking, and today is no different because we're talking about the 2023 Banking Outlook Report put out by the fine folks at BAI, and you're here to tell us a little bit about it. So share with us, give us a quick, like maybe a summary or set the table for us, if you will, Carl, on this year's Banking Outlook Report.
Well, we do this every year, and we take a look at what the topic matters are for the coming year, just to help bankers and credit unions, financial service leaders prepare, and as they get ready to take on the next year. We go out to many consumers as well as bankers, and some of the questions we ask are repeats so that we can get historical perspectives, and other times they're new. And actually, this year we're going out again with another one, just because the environment is changing quickly.
A little bit. Oh my gosh! Yeah, just in the last couple of weeks, it seems like.
So yeah, last week, right?
Yeah, but that we'll save that for another show. But hey, what are some of the biggest priorities for financial services leaders in 2023 that you guys have discovered?
Yeah, so the three largest business challenges are new client acquisition, client digital experience, and then also acquiring and retaining talent.
Okay.
The new client acquisition actually moved up. That was third. It's now first.
Really? Okay.
And as I mentioned, as we started here, this is us going out into the marketplace with a market survey, which is some of the work that we do. But we also have benchmarking reports, mm-hmm. where financial services, the financial institutions provide us with account level data. And it's actually bearing out. So it's not only what the bankers are saying their top challenge is, but it's also what the data is showing. Okay. It's just a difficult time to get new customers.
Yeah, it seems like the marketplace right now is so disparate, is the only word I can think of right now, because there's so many banking options, I guess, if you will, out there, because you got the neobanks, you got the traditional banks, you got credit unions, you got community banks, you got who knows what else is out there brewing. So it's just, there's so many choices, I guess, for consumers today. And I totally get why client acquisition or banking customer or credit union member acquisition is so important today, because you want to keep those folks, in that ecosystem, if you will.
Yeah. And I mean, another issue that's revving up is deposits, right? Mm-hmm. So it used to be the case that as rates were flat, that it just wasn't a top issue, and it is today. In fact, over 2/3 of bankers say that, and credit union and other financial service leaders say that the competition is going to be much higher this year. It's going to be significant, or it's going to increase. And if you look at the same, we asked this question 2 years in a row. And so 7% of the leaders said it was going to be significant. It would significantly increase in terms of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And this year is 23%.
Oh,
so
wow.
Three times as many.
Yeah.
So, as rates increase, money is in movement. And on top of that, there's just not the liquidity that we used to have. So the government isn't pumping the money that they did before. And on top of that, with rates going up, folks aren't pulling money out of their homes in the form of, mortgages with cash out and home equity loans.
Yeah, it's funny that you said liquidity, because we were just at the Governmental Affairs Conference in Washington, D.C. a week and a half or so ago. And I always ask people, hey, what's the buzz in the hallway? What are people talking about? And sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, it's, the digital acceleration, or last year it was like all things crypto. But this year it was liquidity, liquidity, liquidity. That's all everybody was talking about. So
and not super new to the scene, but interest rate risk.
Yeah. Yep. It's
how you play. How do you play the change in rates are rising so quickly? And I mean, it played out recently in some news we've heard about the industry, right? Mm-hmm. But what kind of interest rate risk are you taking?
Yeah, no doubt. Let's get to this second question here. And so what are some important things to consider when creating a strategy to increase member acquisition based on the top three findings that you guys discovered?
Yeah, I mean, it's always helpful when you're looking at data to drill down a few levels and segment it to see where there might be some opportunities. 33% of Gen Z uses one financial service organization, 40% of millennials use one. And if you go up to the boomers, 65% use one.
Right.
So what happens is you've got, a generation that is spreading out their relationships and utilizing multiple organizations. Mm-hmm. On top of that, there's another question we ask, which is, how likely are you to be with your primary financial service provider next year? Mm-hmm. You did that on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
And boomers scored at 8.8. And when you get down to the Gen Zs, it's 6.6. So you have a generation that has multiple relationships and they're less likely to be with their primary or in one of those relationships a year from now. So that just kind of puts them in play more than the other generations. And on top of that, they're the generations that are going to be the generation that's going to be inheriting the wealth. So this is kind of where the competition is. And on top of that, there's really not very good NPS scores with that group.
Mm, really?
So with Gen Z, it's actually negative.
Oh, gosh.
No
wonder they're bouncing around.
Yeah, so they're not happy where they're at. They've got many relationships that are bouncing around. And they're the folks that are going to retain, they're going to be inheriting the wealth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's really a good, if you can figure out how to make them happy, right? That's where, that's where there's opportunity. Now, the unfortunate part is a little bit of an uphill battle. We break out, where do you have your primary relationship? And one of the categories, so it's like large banks, direct banks, and one of the categories is community banks and credit unions. Mm-hmm. And year over year, the community bank credit union segment has actually lost some. It's less. So like if you look at Gen Z this year was 15% bank in that category or have a primary in that category versus 17 the year before and 8 on the millennials. So you're moving up a generation, 8% bank in that category with a primary, and it was 13 the year previous. So they're giving a little bit in that category. And mainly where the loss is to the direct banks. So the direct banks we define as those that don't have branches, right? So but that's not entirely unexpected. When you're in a rising rate environment, oftentimes folks will move money
they're gonna be hunting around for sure.
They tend to move first with rate increases on particularly savings and CD products.
Yep, you got that right for sure. Hey, what are the most important elements of member experience from the perspective of the member? I mean, how do they differ from the financial services leaders out there?
Yes, the number one answer to the question that we asked on that regarding that is improving the omni-channel experience. Mm-hmm. So I think what happened was that banks, credit unions, other financial service organizations closed the gap on their digital channel during the pandemic when the physical locations were closed. Mm-hmm. And so that part's been, there's always work to do, but that part's been managed to some degree. But now, as those channels reopened, particularly the younger generations, they're using every possible channel. And so what they want to be able to do is switch from one channel to the other and have all that information available. Yeah. They don't want it stovepiped.
Yeah.
The second thing they say is give me tools and options to customize my own solutions. And then also real-time messaging to help with their day-to-day finances. So those are the top three things that financial service leaders could focus in on to improve that experience. Now, we asked the leaders, financial service leaders, the same question, right? And you know what? And they said make better use of data for products and services. Yes. To recommend. And then also enhance the mobile channel, and then finally give clients tools and options to customize the solutions. So that third one they shared. The other first, the first two are more, how can I cross sell and how can I sell some more by way of the digital channel? So a little different focus there, slightly different answers when we went out to the consumer with the question, when we went out to the financial service leaders. Oh,
interesting, interesting perspectives there for sure. You talked about digital banking throughout this whole conversation. So as we see digital banking continue to be a priority for both financial services leaders and members or consumers, how can digital capabilities be improved? What are these folks looking for?
The number one thing they would like to have is 24/7 client service.
Okay.
Which I always find ironic because we're talking about what feature do you want in the digital channel, and that feature tends to be not digital.
Right. Right.
Because you have, generally speaking, I mean, there are ways that you can deliver customer service digitally, but nonetheless, that's more of a call center or an individual that can answer your question. It's tough to provide that, right, because of the expense associated with it.
No doubt, especially 24/7. Good grief.
Yeah. Then when you get into some of the more traditional features of operating digitally, for Gen Z, they're interested in using their app, their phone, and text messaging without having to re-verify their identification, which is interesting. They're willing to give on the security to have a more fluid experience, right? Mm-hmm. So they're less worried about fraud. By the way, when you get to the boomers, they're like really worried about fraud. So they're not really willing to make that trade-off. And then as you move up to more like the Xers, they're really interested in prioritize faster payments. And they want a really clear, easy to use application. Yeah. So that's what they're looking for on the positive side. On the negative side, their big frustrations are changes that occur with the technology, right? Okay. So they want to be able to find what they typically do easily, and they want it to be in the same place they've always seen it at, right? So it's like walking into a big box store, and if you buy the same thing from that big box store, it takes you 3 seconds to drop it into your basket off the shelf. But if they've moved it, you're meandering over 50,000 square feet trying to find the thing, and you go from like 3 seconds to 11 minutes. So it's the same concept, technologically speaking. They just want things to be where they expect them to be.
Exactly.
Challenge, though, because how do you add new features and functionality without changing things up?
Right? You have to, in order to evolve, for sure, and to keep up with the competition, for sure. But I totally get the big box store analogy there, because I've been there, done that. Like, it was just there last week. Where did it go now? Where'd they put it? So, hey, are there any additional aspects of digital banking / member experience that financial institution leaders should be prioritizing that they aren't doing so right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that let's come back to challenges, right? So we talked a little bit about the omni-channel experience. Mm-hmm. And I also mentioned that the younger generation is using all the different channels. So the key is making sure that those channels talk to each other, mm-hmm. and that it's seamless. So it's really, the new word that's, I guess, is starting to get overused is the digital and physical. So it's phigital.
Phigital, yeah.
Is the term. And, you see it and there's, I think I've spoken to you about this before, but when we ask consumers, how often do you use various different channels and how many interactions do you have with your financial service organization on a monthly basis? Boomers have about 68 versus Gen Z has 108. And what? And you would think, well, the boomers are, headed off to the branch. They average 1.7 branch visits a month versus the Gen Z is saying that it's 5.7. So like a multiple of. So my point in this is just to not fall into the trap of, well, if I'm going to go after certain generations, I need to really focus in on just the digital aspect of things, because that's not what's happening. So They're using all of the different channels. And with that happening, the ability to coordinate amongst all those different channels is really important.
Yeah, no doubt. Before I let you go, any lessons learned from this, from the findings here? I mean, I think we just found an important one just in your last response about being accessible in any channel possible. So, you know, no matter what demographic you're in, it sounds like. So, but any other lessons learned that you...
Yeah, I mean, maybe we could finish up where we started off, and that is that change is at a, you know, afoot here. And we're seeing an environment where rates are increasing significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of volatility. We talked about liquidity. And so it's really important to have data and information. You know, our clients, folks that we talk to, are really interested in recency. And so having this information and understanding consumer sentiment and understanding what their interests are, and then when there are big events like significant rate changes or there's a liquidity issue inside of banking and there's questions about you know, how much we can rely on you know, banks and credit unions and whatnot. You know, it's important to keep track of where the consumer's headed with their mindset, understand the changes that are happening, and then know that money is going to be in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to find out now, you know, as people get concerned about whether or not their deposits are safe, they revisit their diversification strategy. So remember, we go back to the young generation that has multiple relationships. The question is, will this be a trigger for money in motion, and how do we see where that money goes?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we are definitely in interesting times. Each year I say, gosh, these are really interesting times we're living in, but it seems like each year it gets amplified that much more. So
do you long for the boring times, Mike? Sometimes I do.
Sometimes I do, yes. I wish we could go on vacation from interesting times on occasion. So yeah.
Well, we are near spring break, so that's a good topic to bring up.
That's right. And then there's March Madness going on right now. So yeah, but anyway, yeah, I digress about that. But yeah, this is a really interesting time. I feel like we're in this in the midst of some sort of, like, I don't want to know if it's a evolution or a revolution, but it just seems like there's this massive change going on right now that it's just, I feel like we're just this big oil tanker moving in the direction of, I don't know what, but it just seems like there's so much movement going on right now in any aspect, especially in the digital arena. So yeah, it's really interesting. And you guys
I mean, I agree with you, and it's so easy to just keep focusing in on the risks that that brings, which are important to think about, but that also brings about opportunity.
Of course. Oh, completely. Yeah. We got to keep moving forward. No doubt. No doubt. So yeah. So alrighty, sir. Carl, once again, you delivered. So appreciate your time as always, and I look forward to getting this one posted, and I look forward to our next chat as always. Well done, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate attending, and thanks for having me as a guest, and I look forward to next time.
You got it, sir. Well done. All righty, man. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.